Well, as Pastor mentioned, we have a 5-on-5, so I'm excited about that because there's a mighty word in these people that are coming up, and so I'm looking forward to hearing it. But I got to put a plug in real quick. Okay, fellas, you may have had a good time, but the girlfriends, we got ours coming up. November 11th, we're going to have a good time. Alrighty, so for our first speaker, we have Miss Minister Winona Barrett.
Thank you. Is it 5 minutes started? So, I'll be coming from Ephesians 5:15, and the focus is be intentional. For those that are, if I'm going too fast, those that are taking notes, there's three small phrases I'd like for you to write down. The first one is walk in love. The second, walk in light. The third, which would be my focus, walk in wisdom. And none of these will operate if you do not have love. You must have love. That's most important. Okay. I'm using the New King James Version, KNJV, Study Bible. It reads like this: see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Meaning, be very careful, or you could say it like this: be intentional how you live. Don't live like foolish people, but be wise. And I was saying, what is all this walking? What is all this walking business? But it's really talking about your lifestyle. Some people would say in a vernacular, walk the talk. So it's your lifestyle. It's not just Sunday morning at New Day and Corona, but it's a lifestyle, a habitual habit, a pattern, your lifestyle, a way. Wise people seek to understand what is the Lord's will. And so while I was studying, I said, Lord, what's your will for me? What do you want me to see? Because you always see it first when you bring in the word. And then it's for everyone else. So it's to seek him in everything. And I was like, I'm the child that would question and say, everything? Everything. Everything means everything. All things. So the definition of wise we know from the Bible is that the beginning of all wisdom, not some, but all wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. And I was like, well, why we gotta fear you? You're a loving God. See, I was that child. Still am. So he's really talking about a reverential respect and awe, to where you want to do what his will is more than you want to do your will. And that's a level of maturity when you say, oh, no, not my will, your will, Father. And it's intentional, meaning that you design, you purpose in your heart. Father, what is your will for me today? And it could be, what is your will for me today as the mother of this family or the father of this family, as the pastor of this church? What is your will for me today? It could be, what is your will for me today as a son, as a daughter? What's your will? Intentionally seeking God's will in everything. For those of you, we've already mentioned those three phrases just in case you didn't get it. The first one was to walk in love, walk in the light, and walk in wisdom. And again, it's a lifestyle. Not just walking, but seeking God. It could be as you walk, physically walk, but you're in tune to what God has to say for you during this day. I noticed a pattern in Ephesians in the first 15 verses. So the first 7 verses were under the title, Walk in Love. That was the very first thing it talked about. Love is very important. None of the gifts of the Holy Spirit will operate without love. Whose love? God is love. Then the second one was to walk in the light. Who is the light? Jesus. Yes, God. And I said, well, how do we walk in the light? It's being in his presence, seeking his will, and doing what he wants us to do versus what we would want to do or what we would want to say. The last one was walk in wisdom. And that one, again, is being careful to seek what God's plan is. And it's in all things. He may have, I don't have a clock. He may say that, thank you. We may say that, okay, this is the best decision. And naturally, it may be. But if you, I want to leave you with this. If you seek God first, before you release a word, before you meditate too hard on a thought, if you seek him first, you'll have victory. And that's what intentional is, seeking the will of God. God bless you.
All right, be intentional and walk in the light. So our next minister is Christian Cooley.
How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. I'm excited. It'll be fun. Let's get it. So we're going to be reading from Ephesians 5:15 through 17. And it'll also be on being intentional, okay? So I'm reading from the Holman's version of the Bible. That's the HCSB, just in case you don't know what that is. And it reads, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Like I said, we're going to be talking about being intentional. Webster's definition of intentional is done with intention or on purpose, something you're intending to do. So what are we intentional about? As Christians, we know what we're supposed to be intentional about. Forgiveness, right? Love, right? Understanding of other people. But a lot of times, we're still intentional about those things of the flesh, right? Unforgiveness, huh? Hardness of the heart. Flesh, you're being thirsty, right? If you're a little bit younger, you know, right? So we'll break it down. So Ephesians 5:15 and 16, once again, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. What we see here is God has called us to be intentional in our walk with him. This means that we must be deliberate in how we conduct ourselves daily as Christians, right? So you cannot live your life doing what everybody else is doing, trying to fit in with the in crowd when he has called you to be the light, which means you are supposed to be leading them, not the opposite way, right? Okay, this means we cannot allow ourselves to follow the flesh, our natural inclinations, but we must stay focused on holiness and the things of God. One must be intentional about walking in wisdom. That means you can't be out here acting a fool, right? You can't just get upset and be salty and then come at somebody's neck because they hurt your feelings, right? That was for somebody. That was for me for a long time, so let me just, so you don't feel too bad, right? Okay, right, so there we go. Wise people make the most of their time. They're efficient in the things that God has for them. They're efficient, which means they're not walking and blowing away in the wind. When God has given you a path to go down, they do their best to stay focused on that path. They're intentional about every action, right? So when that person looks at you sideways, when they cut you off on the freeway, and you want to say, I know this person did not just, and say, it's okay, I love you, and keep on praying. They might think it, but you got to take that thought captive, amen? We got to take it captive, right? This means you cannot live your life as the world does, doing what ratchet people do with the intent of being everything God has called you to do. Amen? Right? I'll prove it to you. 1 Kings 18:21 says, Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. The people did not have an answer. They did not answer him with a word because they knew they was wrong, right? So if you know that you're supposed to do something that God has called you to do, then do it. Don't try to fit in, right? Or if God has called you to be a leader, right, and he has called you to do certain things, he has called you to go certain places, you must first understand and make sure that you are prepared to go to those places. So if you had a problem with going to the club and getting ratchet in the club, after you've gotten saved, you've reached the mountaintop, make sure that you are firmly planted on the mountaintop. You can't just first walk up to the mountaintop, you breathing and gasping and doing all of that, and then try to go back down because you're going to be tired and stick with them, right? That was a bar, just in case you didn't know. Now, if we was rapping, that would have been super hot fire right there, okay, right? Now, this doesn't mean you don't go and make disciples, but this is what the word says. If you're hanging out with people you are supposed to be leading and you are out here doing what they do, you are not a discipler. And you do not have disciples, right? You are a disciple of evil. But we have to understand this. And we'll go down to verse 17. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The person who isn't walking in wisdom and who doesn't understand what the Lord's will is may just be a fool. I know that steps on some toes. It steps on mine, too, and I'm still trying to figure things out. But how do you know? We have grace. Amen. That's my time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Christian Cooley. Don't be salty. Be a disciple. All righty. Amen. So next up, we have Minister Tim Hunter.
Amen. Okay. Christian, you already set it up for me, so thank you, sir. I'm going to just talk to you about Ephesians, same thing, be intentional. But the Apostle Paul was actually talking to the church here. There was an issue that was going on in the church, and he had to send a letter over to the church, and there were some problems with church folks, okay? There was a problem with some church folks. They were a little confused about who they were serving, okay? Our key scripture is Ephesians 5:15, but I want to move back up to Ephesians 3 and 4, because 3 and 4 tells you exactly, he gives you a list of things that are happening in the church. And the list is, one, there's sexual immorality that's happening. What that means is some fornication. There's some adultery going on. You know, there's those people who, I'm going to do a Christian, call them thirsty, but I'm going to just say it like this. Back in my day and time, you know, them folks who would meet up with their boo while they bae is sitting at the house. Yeah, them people. Yeah, so we want to make sure those people understand what Paul is talking about here. There was also some impurity and some greedy folks among the people. You know, these are the folks who like to chase that dollar. You know, chase that dollar, but they give no tithes. These are church folks. Okay, so we want to also talk about obscure stories. You know how everybody got that good big, that fish story that they call, you know, it's real big, but just when you find out it's real small, it's a small story. They tell these stories. They basically just telling the lies. And then also we're going to talk about foolish talk. So Paul lists a list of things that are happening in the church. But if you are going to be followers of Christ, if you're going to be the called out one, if you're going to be the salt of the earth, if you're going to be the light, or you're going to be the disciple of Jesus Christ, you must be intentional about his word. You must be intentional about what God has called you to do. You must be intentional about the people that are around you, that surround you. So what we're going to do here, so one of the things I want to ask you guys do, say stop. Say it one more time, stop. Stop sinning. Stop being ratchet. Stop being foolish. God has called you to a higher level. God has called you to a place to where he has called you out to be his people, not the world's people. So we want to say, so in order to be intentional, one of the things you must do is you must learn to follow Christ. Follow Christ and just as Christ has set it up to be. He actually said for us to be imitators of him. That means to be a carbon copy of him. Okay, we need to be a carbon copy of who Christ is. The second thing we want to say is protect your personal integrity to protect who you are. You must be a follower of Christ. In order to be a follower of Christ, that means you must study the word. You must know what he says in his word. The second thing we want to say, be intentional about his word. Be intentional about his word. The Bible tells us to do all things without grumbling and dispute, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, and in the midst of crooked and twisted generations of whom you shine, who you shine as lights of the world. That's in Philippians 2:14. Study the word. Apostle Paul tells us that we should not let our philosophies of the world change the way we think. We can't let the world change the way we think. We have to be the light of the world. Okay, so basically what it is, if you want to expose who the world is, be in Christ. Because when your light shine, the world shine, the darkness is going to shine. I mean, darkness is going to be, your light will shine and the darkness will be exposed. We have to be intentional about loving God and about loving our neighbors. God has commanded us to love our neighbors, to love our neighbors as Christ loved us, as we love ourselves. So we must be intentional about that. And the other thing is we must be intentional about how we live out our faith. That is a key one. We got to be intentional about how we live off our faith. We can't allow the world to deter us and to change our minds and our hearts about what we feel and what we know about God. We also must be intentional about our prayer life. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever time it is, God has called you to get up to pray. Be intentional about it because that's going to be the starting point of your life. We got to understand that God is a sustainer of life. He will take care of you. Don't be concerned about the things of the world. And last but not least, be intentional about your praise. When you come into the sanctuary on Sunday morning, you shouldn't have to be pushed and pumped. The praise team shouldn't have to say a no or play a note. But if God be with you, if God has done anything for you, there will be an intentional praise when you walk in the door. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Minister Tim. Wow. I like that. Chase dollar, but don't pay tithes. But be the light. All right. Next up, we have Elder Abraham Manasseh.
Good morning. Praise God. Amen. Being intentional. Being intentional. There are some few things that I have learned in life. And one of the things that I have learned is life celebrates people who complete. People celebrate people who complete. Success follows people who complete. If we want to be successful in life, we have to be intentional. Intentional to complete whatever we start. We cannot always be starters, but we never finish whatever we are doing. There are some people in life, you know, every time you meet them, they just started a new job. Every time you meet them, they've just started a new relationship. Every time you meet them, they've just started a new class. Every time you meet them, they've just started a new ministry. Every time you meet them, they've just joined a new church. There is nothing that they complete in life. They always start, but they do not complete. Life only celebrates people who complete. That's why even schools, they have graduation party, graduation ceremonies for those who have completed, not those who have started. Because that's how life is. Even if you know, there are some people, they always keep starting new businesses. Every time you're starting a new business, at some point you have to stop and say, let me be intentional and complete whatever I start. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says, he who has started a good work in us will carry it through to completion. Because our God is a completing God. He's a God who starts something and he completes it. God has started something in your life, and whatever he has started in your life, trust him, he will complete it. Don't try to take shortcuts in life. You have to complete whatever you have studied in your life. What is it that you have studied in your life? Do you have intentions to complete what you have studied in your life? Look at your life and see, what are the things that you've just started? What are the things that you just keep starting and starting and starting, but you never complete anything in life? God wants us to be intentional and complete whatever we have started. Amen? Amen. Number two, knowledge. Knowledge, it's not always equal to doing. Just because you know something, it does not mean you will do it. James chapter 1, verse 22 talks about knowing, hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God. But James says, that is not enough. Hearing only, it's not enough. The word of God, it's only beneficial to those who do it. In most cases, we just keep accumulating information. What do we do with that information? Every Sunday we come to church, what do we do with the word of God that we hear? We always start something new. We get new information, but we never finish anything. Because always we have to be intentional if we want to be successful in life. There is a saying that says, a rolling stone gathers no moss. A rolling stone gathers no moss. So every time when we hear the word of God, the question is, am I going to do it or not? I have to be intentional to do what I know. Just because you know it does not mean anything. There are some people, especially the young people, when you talk to them, even before you finish, they say, oh, I know that. I know that. Just because you know it does not mean you do it. Just because you know it will not change your circumstance. Just because you know it does not change your life. That's because you know it does not make you successful. It's not what we know, but what we do that will change our lives. In life, the greatest regrets in our lives are associated with those situations where we knew, but we did not do it. Because knowing, it's not always equal to doing. You knew that it's not good for you. You knew that it was not good that you ate that. You knew that you're not supposed to go there. You knew that you're not supposed to be with her. You knew it. That's why you have the greatest regrets in life. You knew that if you studied, you will not be earning what you are earning today. You knew that if you went to school, you will not be where you are today. Our greatest regrets in life are associated with those circumstances where we knew, but we did not do it. Let's be intentional. Number one, in completing what we start. Number two, in doing what we know. God bless you. Amen.
Woo! Amen. 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 Be intentional. Be a completer and be a doer. All right, up next and last, we have Pastor Todd Lynch.
All right, I'm going to be different than everybody else. Say different. Different. All right, and it's not because I want to be different, but because God told me to be. So I'm going to sit down. Is that cool? All right, Ephesians 5:14 talks about being intentional. Now, the whole chapter 5 talks about holy living. And if you look at chapter 6, it talks about the things that God has given us to survive, to protect ourselves from the darts of the wicked, the enemy. And all those things are gifts from him, like the gift of righteousness. That means that we have right standing with God. And in the armor scenario, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. All right. Now, okay, this is a little weird for me, but I'm going to tell you about me and about my shortcomings, and hopefully that will help you. Because in order to be intentional about something, the first thing we have to do to live a holy life is to look at the deficits in our life. And we don't like to do that. We don't like to look at the negatives. We don't like to look at the things that will hurt us. the things that will cause us to be less than, the things that will cause us to look bad in front of people, because we always want to have that mask, the first thing forward. So that's the first step that we have to do, is look at our deficiencies. For some of you, it may be your fears. Fears of tithing and not having enough. Fears of losing stuff. Some of you, it may be anger. For me, it's depression. Now, it's not depression like I'm going to kill myself tomorrow because I don't want to live. It's not that. For me, it's depression that causes me to doubt. I have to be careful. There's certain things I can't watch, or in whatever we ingest, then we digest it. And then when we digest it, that's what comes out. And I have to be careful that I don't feed that negative, that deficiency in me, which causes me to be depressed. There's a TV show called This Is Us. Y'all know what that? Y'all have seen it? It's a great show. And as for artists like me, it's like, oh, that's so well written and it's awesome. But it's kind of melancholy, you know? And then my wife says, yeah, it should be called This Is Sad. the whole thing is like sad. I mean, not only is Grandpa dying, he's gay. And then, you know, and everything is sad. And if I watch too much of that, then I get sad. And I get depressed, and I can't feed that. I cannot ingest that. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, so this isn't like, ha ha, this is a great sermon. It's not like that. My 5 minutes is like real. So you have to counteract that. What the Israelites would do in all of the cities and stuff, they would build their cities and they would put up borders. They would put up barriers or walls to protect the city from intrusion. Okay, so that's what I have to do. I have to put up, a lot of times we think of barriers or boundaries as negative, but they're very positive, and they're to protect yourself, all right, from things. So, like, I have to go, okay, all right, Todd, you're not strong in this area, so you can't do that, you know, because I don't want to ingest something that I'm going to digest that's going to be negative and come out the wrong way. Does that make sense? So I'm going to put up these walls that protect me. So I have things that I can counteract. Everybody say counteract. Like, there's certain movies I can watch that help me. You know, it's like, yeah, you can read the word. You can, okay, sometimes when you're depressed, that's not going to help you. You know what I'm saying? If you're fighting certain things, you have to know what works for you. Everybody say for me. Right. So for me, if I watch Coming to America, I'm laughing. That's just a funny movie. It's timeless, it's funny, and it works for me. There's certain things, the Bible says laughter is as medicine, right? And that sometimes we need that. And for my particular fault, for my particular thing, I need to counteract my depression with laughter, amen? My wife can make me laugh, so I'll go to her. She says, I don't think I'm doing enough for you. No, you're great. You're awesome. And you have to know what works for you. All right? If you're angry, you have to deal with that and you have to work through it. If you're afraid, you have to deal with that because Satan is going to use those things to stump you. My time is up. I love you guys.
Love you.
Can we give Pastor Todd a hand again, please? It takes a big man, confident man, to come before you and be naked and not ashamed. And that just really speaks of your spiritual maturity. Often what we do is we look at people's frailties and, you know, in the correct frame, what you did was just amazing. Thank you. Thank you for your vulnerability. Most people wouldn't risk that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we give all of our speakers a hand, please?